Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I want to thank you for joining me today. You're going to find out that this show is like no other show in Christian media, because I don't talk about the status quo things that people associate with everyday Christianity. And what I mean by the status quo is if you walk into your average church setting and the sermon that the message that you're going to hear is going to be along the lines of a grace plus law mixture, meaning that we'll talk about the grace of God as far as, you know, being saved by grace, because everybody agrees that we're saved by grace. That's not a problem. But then they'll add to it the fact that you have to do something in order to receive something from God. So you're saved by grace, but you're not kept by the same grace, is basically what they're saying. And what I share is what people need to know, really, as far as being believers, and not just the everyday believer. This show is not for the everyday believer. This show is for the believer who I had a friend of mine write me this last week, and he said, Rich, he said, the message that you're sharing is for somebody who's going down for the third time. And I had another friend of mine say, you know, this is a message that you're ready to listen to when you're ready to write a suicide note for your own life, because it's about the losing to gain life. Paul said, I consider all things as loss in comparison to knowing Christ as Lord. And so we look at that, and there's the mystery of the loss is the gain, because Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, you find it or save it or gain it. So what I share is the stuff that everyday people need to know in reference to their everyday real life. That's why the name of this program is called Real Life. It's about the real life stuff that we all deal with. When I'm done with this broadcast today, you can't get any more real life than this. A wonderful friend of ours that I met in 2009 through a business venture, and she found out she had breast cancer, and it returned in 2011 when I was sick in the hospital. In fact, that's where I learned that she was sick, and this past week she died. And Alina was 49 years old, and she loved God with all of her heart. And so today, when I'm done with this broadcast, I've got to hurry up and get ready, and I'm going to be a pallbearer at her funeral. That's real life, folks. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's really what this whole purpose of our knowing God in the way that God would have us to know him is all about. And that is to share this real life that we know, that we might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. But the fellowship of his sufferings comes before the power of the resurrection. God only resurrects that which is dead. He doesn't resurrect something that is still alive. You can't pretend this message that I'm talking about. There's a lot of people in churches across the land that go into these buildings week after week after week, and they pretend They walk in with a smile on their face. They walk in and they don't share what's going on inside of them, because that's not what you do in that setting. It's not acceptable, which is sad, because the church should be a hospital for sick people. Jesus said that, you know, he's the physician, and the sick need a physician. Well, we should be each other's physicians, because he's the one living inside of us. But instead, we're each other's judges. And the reason we are is because of the lie of the gospel of grace plus law. Jesus came to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And there's nothing less fruitful for a believer than to be plugged into the dead letter, performance-based, law plus grace message that is considered normal Christianity today. That is not fruit-bearing. Jesus said that he wants us to bear much fruit, more fruit, as much fruit as we possibly can. And the only way that you can bear fruit is if you allow him to take you and to prune you and to do what, I mean, the Father, because he is the vine, we're the branches, it says in John 15:5. And he lets us know that apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. And so most people strive their entire life trying to live the Christian life until hopefully at some point in time, because one of two things happens, either they conform to what the status quo is and they live a limited life, because it really is a limited life if you conform to that. Or they end up, well, they do one of three things. They end up getting frustrated with the whole thing because they have this internal want to know God, not just know about God, not just know about religion, or to know people that know about God, but they have this internal want to know God. And so they go to church. And it doesn't matter if it's a Baptist church, fellowship church, Assembly of God church, Baptist church, seeker-friendly church, conservative Baptist church. It doesn't matter. Because if they're not preaching the message that you lose your life to gain it, then it's not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a mixture. If they're teaching financial seminars and training you how to raise your teenager that's gone crazy, and they're not focusing on the cross. Paul said, I preach Christ and yet crucified. Why do you think he said that? Because he knew that Christ and him crucified was the message that if people would embrace it, it would take them to the necessary place of weakness, where they would find out that they're loved unconditionally. And that the mercy of God that drew them to God and the grace of God that keeps them there is all there is. And that they are the vessel, the temple, the branch, the lamp of God. All they were meant to be, and this is an awesome all, by the way, is the container of God to be the one that carries around the life of God for others. That's what the true Christian life is all about. And so why won't you hear it in most churches? 99.9% of them, by the way. Why won't you hear this message? Because the leaders have bought it hook, line, and sinker. And they know that in order for them to have everything that God has for them, some of them do, most don't. But even the ones that do know it are not going to pay the price, because the way that the church system is set up today, which is more like a corporation than a living entity, they have a guaranteed paycheck every week. And that guaranteed paycheck comes from a church board. And that church board is the one that approves of them. And if they're not doing what the church board wants them to do or the congregation wants them to do, then they could lose their guaranteed paycheck. But when you come to this radio show, when you come to this ministry, when you come to this message, you're going to find that there's no strings attached. That I'm not bought and paid for. And so over 35 years, God has prepared me because he said to me when I was a young man, before my first public speaking engagement with a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, he said to me through Jeremiah that every word I put in your mouth, you're going to say, and every place I send you, you're going to go. And you know how that happens? That happens through brokenness, loss, pain, suffering. That happens from walking away from God for years, for seeing God as a cruel taskmaster instead of the loving Father that I now know he is, because the church's perception of God is what I bought, hook, line, and sinker, and this internal want to know my Abba Daddy, my Father, was replaced with a law. Paul calls it the law of sin and death, which consisted of steps to know God and formulas to know God and different things that had nothing to do with a relationship, a living, breathing relationship with the living Christ. And so what he did is he began to show me his rest. I was at a church, an Assembly of God church in Bellevue, Washington, and I was going to pick up one of my kids after Sunday school, I think it was after Sunday school. And I was walking through a music room, and I just about tripped over this book. It was on the floor right in front of me. And it was Andrew Murray's exposition on the entire book of Hebrews called The Holiest of All. And I picked up the book and it turned open to the chapter and it said the rest of God. And it talked about the rest of God. Hebrews 3:7-4:11. The rest of God. There is a rest for the people of God. God has appointed another day, calling it today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like the ones in the wilderness that didn't see grace. They saw the law. That 40-year journey would have taken 2 weeks if they would have saw the grace of God. That whole 40-year journey was about seeing grace. That's what it was about. And the writer of Hebrews lets us in on something, and he says, today, if you hear his voice. Well, today you hear his voice. But what about tomorrow? And what about yesterday? What about all this junk that I'm carrying around inside of me? What about all of the stuff that I have to deal with in the future? What if the economy crashes? What if my kids go crazy? What if? And the whole purpose of that passage in Hebrews is to let us know, you know what? There is a day that God sees. He calls it today. And it's the only day that the believer has any business living in. Any other day is none of our business. And God began to show me that way back in 1986, the rest of God. And he began to show me, and then he rolled death in on everything, because I asked him 3 years previous to that, because a friend of mine came to me and said, Rich, do you want everything God has for you? And I said, yes, Bob, I want everything God has for me in this life. As a former alcoholic and drug abuser and liar and manipulator, I want everything God has for me in this life. And he handed me a prayer and he said, pray this prayer. And the prayer was, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. I started praying that prayer in 1983. I prayed it up until 1986. I couldn't pray it anymore because the trials were so intense that I couldn't deal with life anymore. My ex-wife begged me to stop praying that prayer. And in 1986, God began to show me what that prayer was all about. And it began with a rest. There is a rest for the people of God. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Heavy laden with what? Heavy laden with a life you're carrying around that you're not supposed to be, because the life you live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what the burden is of the believer, is still believing that we have some responsibility for a life that isn't ours. And so he took me into that place of rest, and he opened up Deuteronomy 8 to me at that same time in 1986. Deuteronomy 8 is the journey of Moses into the wilderness and out the other side. It's the eighth chapter of Deuteronomy 8, which symbolizes a new beginning. 8 is the number of eternity. 8 is when the covenant ceremony, when they took the animal, they cut it up, and they put it in the form of a figure eight. They walked through the pieces in the form of a figure eight, and they recited the covenant blessings and the covenant promises and the covenant curses. And the covenant was, I'm no longer living for me, but for you, covenant partner. And God began to show me covenant. Covenant. That's the new covenant, Jesus says, in his blood. The new covenant is Jesus coming along and telling us that we are the most important thing there is to him. And he gave up his life. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's the God of all grace. And in Deuteronomy 8, it says, all these years that I led you into the wilderness to test you, to show you what was in your heart, whether or not you keep the commandments of God. To see whether or not you. See, God brings the trial and the test into our life. Well, the reason you're losing your job right now, the reason that you're dealing with that debilitating sickness or your family member is, the reason your kids are going crazy out there right now and you prayed for them your whole life, is because God is taking you into a deeper place than you've ever been before. And it's the desire of your heart, if you can just get past yourself and the dead letter performance-based lie that Paul calls the different gospel in Galatians 1:6-8 and 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. And you can look it up. Because he says it's no gospel at all. Yesterday I had a family member. The Bible said your enemies will be those of your own household. Well, that only happens when there's a reason to have an enemy. I used to wonder, why isn't the church persecuted? Because there's absolutely nothing to persecute in the American church. It's a complete laughing stock to darkness. And darkness is alive and well and living inside of the American church, the Western church, the church that is the mixture of grace plus law. He is living in it. And yesterday I had a relative bring an accusation against me on my wall and say, If only everybody knew the real uncle, the real Rich. Well, now you know who it was. And I wrote back and I said, who's the real Rich? I got nothing to hide. I have absolutely nothing to hide. My life isn't about my performance. I haven't got a fig leaf. I'm not hiding behind a fig leaf anymore. Everything is open and laid there with whom I have to do. That's an invitation from God. That's not something that I fear anymore. And that's what religion does. Religion accuses. They came to Jesus and they accused him. They were clueless as to who he was. And they accused him because it threatened their self-preserving ways. In Genesis 3:5 is the beginning of man's focus on self-preservation. Jesus comes along in the entire chapter of Matthew 6 with one purpose, and that is to take us back to seeing who we were before Genesis 3:5. Look at the birds of the air. They're not toiling. Look at the lilies of the field. They're not spinning. Take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should wear. What do we do with that, church? Do we just pass it by and say that was for another time? Do we take Paul's 2 Corinthians 12:9? 2 Corinthians 12 message of coming to the end of himself? Do we take Paul's Romans 7 message of coming beyond due gospel Christianity and going into the revelation of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Do we just walk by that stuff? Most do. Because the price is it's going to cost you everything. Everything you have and everything you are. It's going to cost you everything. It costs Jesus everything. It costs Paul everything. Watchman Nee, one of the first people I read as a brand new believer, it cost him everything. Countless others down through history, it cost them everything. So why doesn't it cost everything for the American believer today? It's not because the American believer doesn't sincerely love God with all of his heart, because he does. I'm convinced that the American believer loves God as much as anybody has in history. But I'm also convinced that darkness has clouded them. They still believe the dark glass lie of 1 Corinthians 13, that you see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. They still believe that's going to be in the sweet by and by. They still believe when Paul talks about Christ as your life, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him also. They still think that's going to be the second coming or the rapture, because they have a focus on preserving their own lives that takes over everything, skews everything, and causes them to see everything through that dark glass. And how is the dark glass removed? Simple. You surrender your life without any strings attached, in the same way that Jesus died for us without any strings attached. That's the only way the dark glass lie of performance in your Christian life is ever going to be removed. No other possible way. And that's a good thing. Because God will begin to show you, just like he did Paul. You ever read where Paul says, like momentary afflictions, I mean, this guy was beaten with rods. He was beaten with the 40 lashes minus one. He was shipwrecked three times, spent time floating around out in the ocean. He was bitten by snakes. This guy named Alexander the Coppersmith was always hunting him. He said, I've been in danger, every kind of danger you can imagine the man went through. And he called it light, momentary afflictions. James calls it all joy over in James chapter 1. James says, consider it all joy when you face trials, when you find out that you have a debilitating sickness, when you lost your job, when you're on the verge of losing your home, when your kids don't talk to you for years like mine did. Consider it all joy, because God is doing something deeper in you, but it's not for you. It's for others. He's doing something so that you see in Christ you lack nothing, that you have everything pertaining to life and godliness. Why did Peter say, after you suffer a little while, he himself will perfect, strengthen, and establish you in Christ? All of them are saying the same exact thing. Paul is saying you're looking at a weight of glory in exchange for your light momentary afflictions. James is saying it's all joy if you see through the trial and see Jesus Christ as the all joy of everything that concerns your life. And Peter is saying, yeah, suffering for 30, 35, 40, 45 years, that's just a little while. Because he is perfecting and establishing and strengthening you as an adult, mature believer who no longer takes a thought to his own life. That's God's goal. That's real Christianity for real people that are dealing with real everyday problems. And there is no other Christianity. This is real life with Rich in Christ. We're giving away a 31-day devotional that will change your life. It is not a bestseller and never will be. It's for the few who are on the narrow path. It's for those, like I said, that are ready to write their suicide note, who have gone going down for the third time, have tried everything else and nothing has worked. And if you private message me on Facebook and just leave your name and address, doesn't have to be a home address, it can be a work address if you're paranoid about that, I'll send you a free and postage paid copy of that book. It's not an e-book. It's a book that you can put your hands on every day, and you can read it. It's 31 deeper life teachings about the true grace of God, of who you are in Christ. And the name of the book is called Rich in Christ. And it's not about me. It's about you, even if you don't know it. And I'm here every week, every Wednesday, God willing, by His grace, I'm sharing this same message in some shape or form, and it's not canned, it's not planned. I don't think of anything. I got on this thing 40 seconds before the show started today, not thinking about anything what I was going to say, because the life of God is my life. And I'm surrendered to Him, and when I open my mouth, He speaks. And that's the life that I share on these radio broadcasts. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you open the eyes and unstop the ears of the people that are listening today, and you bless them, God. And you use this program for your glory, in Jesus' name. Till next week, God bless.